what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's right. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Remember, news with an agenda is propaganda. Yeah, that's the truth. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I asked the Lord and he said yes. That's why. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here's one. Here's one. Now, I love you, even though I'm asking you this question. Ready? Do we work at memorizing Scripture? Do we work at memorizing Scripture? Let me give you a prescription as a doctor of ministry. Ready? I prescribe, besides gospels, I prescribe one Scripture a day for memory. Just 5 days a week. What do you think of that?
One scripture away keeps the devil away.
There you go.
One scripture a day keeps the devil
away. Just one scripture a day. Come on. One scripture. You can even start off with the easy one. Jesus wept. I mean, you can start there. Come on. All right. So I'm just encouraging you to do that. Why is that? Because it keeps the word of God in your mind, and that's helpful. What do you think? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that sad. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama.
We all like that day.
That's just no drama. Like, oh, please. Here's the bottom line. Whether you're in San Diego at K-Bright 1240, whether you're here in Dallas, 770 KAAM, doesn't matter where you are. Right now it's 11:35 and 23 seconds in Dallas, or it's 1:35 and 23 seconds. It's 11:35 and 28 seconds in San Diego.
I love that you do the seconds, Dave.
It's right down to it. I've got the atomic clock right in front of me. Bottom line is you can reach out to us. We're live right now. We're doing it. And here's what we're doing. We're trying to encourage one another as we see the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. And take a look around. It's getting closer and closer. Yes, it's closer today than it was yesterday, but it certainly seems like it's on a speed track of late. Hey, you can call us live during the show. You can also text us. If you're like, I don't like the telephone, then you can text us through your telephone, which is really kind of funny. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here's a almost professional voice.
214-210-8483.
You can either call us, you can either text us, you can also send an email while we're doing it, while we're doing the show. David at HeMustIncrease.org. Nothing before or after, just David at, so the A with a goofy circle around it, he must increase, referring to John 3:30, he must increase .org, because we are a nonprofit entity, and that's what we go by. Bottom line to this is we're also going to send you up to the website. On the website, there is prayer and praise report forms. Nobody gets to see those. Somebody asked for prayer yesterday. I've been praying for them ever since. Somebody needs healing in their bones, just like the Ezekiel 37 portion where the bones rattled together and back they came. And so we're going to be praying for that a little bit later on. But I'm just wanting people to get the idea, get the groove. If you're in San Diego or Dallas, don't hesitate to call and reach out, because all we're trying to do is bless and encourage one another. I understand there's many shows that do different ways have different ways of going about it, and we love them. But the body of Christ has got great diversity. There's not great diversity on how to get into the body of Christ, but once you're in the body of Christ, then there's great diversity. So we want to use some of that diversity on this show. It's kind of how we do it. So the bottom line is we're going to send you up to the website. And if you like what we're doing and how we're doing it, and if you can give, we want you to give, because we need the money. Please, sir, I'd like some more.
Matter of factly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I'm not, you know, hey, look, you want to participate? Great. Please pray for us. You can do that no matter what. And if you can give, give. You can do it through the website. It's 100% safe. And every dollar we get is every dollar we thank God for. In fact, every dime that we get is every dime we thank God for, as we're trying to advance this ministry and advance the kingdom of God in the lives of believers and non-believers as well. Our scripture for today, Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. Consider that. Please check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
Yeah, just remember that. There is no basement at the Alamo.
No basement at the Alamo.
That's what you got to remember. We are going right into the text, and about halfway through, we're going to do our trivia question. We are down to it, folks. It is this teaching in Hebrews and one more, and then we will be starting the book of James. Notice how I said that. So we're going to pick this up at verse 16 in Hebrews 13. So we're about to... right at the verge of completing this book, 1 Timothy. We're almost done with 1 Timothy. We're almost done with Job. I mean, you can just tell we're getting into that point now where we're starting to turn and turn and turn books. So here we go. Ready? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews 13, 16. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so they can do this with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. So let's just stop right there and tear it apart. Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 16, keeping in mind there's only two teaching days left before we're done with the book of Hebrews. The first thing that the author of Hebrews says here is, don't neglect to do what is good and share. It sounds like the simple rules of kindergarten, right? You think that all these people that write all these books come up with this stuff on their own? This was written 2,000 years before that book ever came out. Everything I learned in kindergarten. Yeah, it's right here. It says it right here. Let me just read it again. Ready? Do what is good and share. That's what it says. It's like, do what's good and share. It's not even overly complex. Here it is. It's like these simple rules for kindergarten to be good and to share. The reason is simple. God is pleased when people offer their lives as sacrifices by doing good and by sharing when they have opportunity. And it's not just people should learn that when they're 5 years old or 6 years old or 7 years old. They should learn this at every point in life. As Christians, we should do good. Good according to who? The world? No. Good according to God. That's why truth is in charge. And share. What does sharing have to do with? Sharing has to do with not being selfish. What is selfish all about? Self-centered. Centered in self. See, the difference here is selfish and selfless. The Christian is supposed to be selfless, which is less self. But when you're selfish, you're fishing for yourself. Get it? Selfish. Let's see. That's right. I made it up on the spot. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is do good. Share with one another. Take care of one another. Be nice to one another. Play nice. You think, oh, come on. That can't be. If Christians would play nice with other Christians, the world would, first of all, be in shock. Then it would be a great witness.
Hey, why is it so simple, but it seems so hard? Is that just a matter of our sinful nature?
It is self, 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 self. Everything is self. Even Adam and Eve, just, and I've talked about this so many times, and you keep thinking, well, Dave, you keep going back to the garden. Uh-huh. Okay, so look at Adam and Eve. They're in the garden, right? So everything's great. The food is great. The view is fantastic. Everything's great. Everything's fantastic. The Lord's, you know, hanging out, everything. And then the enemy comes in and he lies. And what he says is simply a matter of creating dissatisfaction with their contentment and asking and trying to prod Adam and Eve to be more concerned about their own status. Now just think about that. You know, did God say you shouldn't eat? We can eat anything we want except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're not supposed to touch that one. And he's a little, did the Lord really say that? You know, he knows when you eat that, you're going to become like gods, knowing good and evil. All of a sudden, this opportunity, one, for equality with God, which just so you can know, equality in that context is a sin, no matter what anybody says, okay? I don't care, political this, political that, really? Adam and Eve wanted to be equal with God. Wrong answer. Number two, they didn't accept their status anymore. This would be advantageous for them. Not for the name of the Lord, not for anybody else. And ironically, it would be advantageous for the devil, who tempted them. It would help him out too. So just by lacking that control or that denial of self, they created the window of opportunity. The real problem is people are like, well, if I was there, I wouldn't have done it. That just proves you would have done it, because that attitude of pride right there just demonstrates you have the nature of sin. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there real fast, so in case somebody missed that. That's a good one, right? All right, now look at the next text. And I want to make sure we do this, and then we'll do our trivia question. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Ironically, this whole share and this whole be good to one another and obey the people that are kind of in charge or over you is also going back to the garden, because if they just would have listened to God and obeyed, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. But the plan was the plan, and the redemption is the redemption. And that's how we got here. But in this instruction, it says obey your leaders and submit to them. It does not tell leaders to make their followers obey. You know, this is a substantial difference in teaching. It does not say, leaders, make your followers obey. It does not say, leaders, demand submission. Any leader that is trying to force someone to obey or demanding submission has lost their connection to the head, which is Christ. They missed it. They're out. Instead, what it tells us to do is to respond obediently to our leaders in our Christian walk and submit to their biblical counsel. It does not give leaders the authority to make personal decisions in people's lives. But if our leaders are good, we should be able to seek counsel from them to help us make the best choices. But remember, and if you forget this, I'll be screaming at you forever and a day. This is a voluntary submission by the people. And if the leader is no longer walking like Jesus, you are no longer required to respond in obedience or submission in any format. If they don't reflect Jesus Christ, bye-bye. Now, does that mean they won't make mistakes? No, no, they'll make mistakes. That's not what it's talking about, and you know that. If somebody makes a mistake, and I've never met anybody but Jesus who hasn't. I mean, anybody, even the Apostle Paul acknowledges his mistakes in Scripture. So let's just get this straight. The reality check is that we do our yielding voluntarily so that we can grow in Jesus. When the person that we're having help us steps out of the box of being a servant and demands any form of submission, they've lost it. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, come follow me. Come and see. Check it out. He didn't say, follow me now or I'll turn you into a lizard. Okay. See that difference there? Okay. All right. So for all those people that are into the shepherding movement, get out. Okay? If you're a leader in the shepherding movement, get out. If you're a flock or sheep in the shepherding movement, get out. Okay? You don't run into cults. You run away from them. Okay. Now we'll take our short little break on our trivia question. That's right. It's Friday, isn't it?
Way to open up a Friday, Dave.
Yeah. What is the meaning of the name Esau? What is the meaning of the name Esau? Is it red and hairy, angry, or strong? What is the meaning of the name Esau? Now, if you're in San Diego, don't hesitate. Come on. It's a phone. It won't hurt you. Red or hairy? Is that what it means? Or does it mean angry? Or does it mean strong? What is the meaning of the name of Esau? If you know, or you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What is the meaning of the name Esau? Is it, number one, red and or hairy, two, angry, or three, strong? You know, I put those emphases in there for, I don't even know why I do that. It's fun. I guess that's why I do it. But it's a good question because it's a challenging one. The scripture is very specific as to the name of Esau. So we're going to see if somebody wants to do it. Yes, we have somebody ready to do it. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, this is your little brother, and Shabbat Shalom to you.
Shabbat Shalom to you, brother. How are you?
Good. Very good. The answer of your question is Harry Crumb.
What did you say?
You remember that movie, Harry Crumb?
Yes, I do.
But he's a hairy red dude.
That's right, it's Harry Crumb! That's great, it's red and hairy. That poor guy. I mean, it would be really bad to be named at birth angry. I'm just saying, that would be a bad thing, right? That'd not be a good thing. But you are correct, Amundo. The meaning of Esau is red and or hairy. That is correct.
Yes.
As in a hairy guy. Yes. That's correct, sir.
Good, good.
How are you?
Good. My heart is very heavy for our brothers and sisters in a particular country where the persecution is just going berserk, burning churches and Christian communities, and it's very just make me to cry. I mean, here we live in a comfort and we don't give a even whatever. So right now my heart is very heavy because my brother and sisters are there too. But the whole Christian community is emotionally...
Well, I think it's worthwhile. It's worth to note that our brothers and sisters in other countries. First of all, the Christians, I think they go through Christian persecution here because they get fired or something.
Yeah.
It's like that's not persecution. I mean, that's it's a drag. But I mean, the persecution these people are going through. 10,000 Christian homes have been destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, you got to be kidding, right?
People are sleeping in the jungle because they left their homes because...
Yeah, let's pray a prayer. Let's pray a prayer for them. Let's do it right now.
Thank you.
Let's pray for them. Father, we come before you right now, and we have brothers and sisters in the faith, people that we will see in heaven, people that we will spend eternity with, that we have no connection to. We don't know who they are, but we know around the world they are standing up for their faith and their confidence and their love in you, and they're being persecuted for it, and they're being physically wounded for it, and some people are dying. I mean, some people are shouting and standing firm in you, and then they're getting beat. And Lord, we pray for protection for our brothers and sisters. We pray that you would send angels of protection, that you would help these brothers and sisters, and that they would stay firm in the faith, and that their example would rub off on us so that we would be firm in the faith. And we ask you to bless them for being our family members and strong believers and strong followers of you. We thank you for their graciousness and their willing to stand and suffer for the faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen,
yeah,
brother.
Just reminding me the Hebrew chapter 11, the later part, you know. So many of them never made it to the promised land or never see comfort, but they stood to stand for the Christ and for their faith.
That's exactly right. So, that's exactly right. And I appreciate you calling and bringing that up. Nice job.
Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless you.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. So, and we should be praying for them. I mean, there was a young man who stood his ground, and then he said nope, and he was singing a song, and they said stop singing. He wouldn't sing it, and they broke his bones. All his bones.
And that's a good point, Dave, because here, you know, sometimes we think, and I'm not saying nobody's under persecution here, but when you look at other countries, it's a little bit deeper, a lot deeper.
It's a lot different. It is. All right. So now let's move into the next portion of the text because our time is really tight because our time is always tight when we're, you know, when it's flying through. Here's what it says in verse 18. Pray for us. This is really, we are convinced that we have a clear conscience wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. And then I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you soon. You want to see something really cool? This is going to just get by a lot of people, but I want you to catch it. So it's really cool. Pray for us, for we're convinced that we have a clear conscience wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. So the author is asking to pray for us, simply saying we're trying to do everything with the right spirit and attitude to the best of their ability. They hope that everything they've said and done is honorable before the Lord, but they ask for prayer because everyone, every leader and believer needs help. But watch, the very next verse, he says, and I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored to you very soon. Now watch, in the first part, he has you, it's an ask for people to pray generally. But in this next verse, he's asking for something specific. He goes, I urge you all the more to pray that I may be restored soon. So in the first request, the prayers are general and spread out kind of like a shotgun blast. But in the next request, the prayer is very specific, more like a sniper kind of scenario. Pray that I'll be restored to you. So both forms of prayer are acceptable and normal in the Christian walk. Sometimes you pray and it's in generalities. Sometimes you pray and it's specific. Listen, that's just awesome. You think, well, should it be general prayer? Yes. Should it be specific prayer? Yes. Should it be kind of general, kind of specific? Yes. Should it be kind of specific, kind of general? Yes. The whole idea is to pray. It's not, you can't pray. No, you've got to say it specifically. Absurd. You can pray general prayers. When prayers are prayed over nations, like kings are praying over nations, like Solomon when he prayed for the nation of Israel, it's general. And when people are praying specifically for a specific need, it's specific. And which is right and which is wrong, they're both right. Neither is wrong. It just depends on your circumstance. So on one hand, they're like, you know what? We are doing the best we can. And I love that this leader, because we don't know who the author is saying, look, we're hoping that everything we've said and everything we've done is okie-dokie. But we need prayer. We need people to pray for us. We want to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. And people, we want to do the right thing. We want to say the right thing. Sometimes a few things slip out that you don't want that you wish you didn't say. Sometimes maybe you didn't do it perfectly, but we want that. That's our heart's desire. Well, that's true right here of this author. He's no different, except he just wrote an epistle we just spent a year going over. And what I want you and I to understand is how powerful that is. That general, I'm just trying to do right, Lord. And then he gets specific. Oh, I need you to pray for this specifically. Isn't that cool? It's just like, oh, that's cool. I mean, I do not like that. All right, now, people in San Diego. Nice weather, I know. Here it is. Bottom line, you can stay listening, keep listening to K-Bright at 1240 a.m. because there's excellent teaching. Or you can move over to our website, hemustincrease.org, and hit live and listen to us there. For the people in Dallas, we're taking a short break, then we're coming back for more. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first.
Yeah,
I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign?
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Name the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.